I'm joined now by Dr. Jane Greaves from the University of St. Andrews, and you have an exciting discovery that you've announced here at NAM.
Yeah, that's right. We think we've found a protoplanet, which is basically a giant ball of gas and rocks and so on, orbiting another star, HL Tau.
So this is, you believe, the beginning of a planetary being formed.
Yeah, it's not really anything like a planet at the moment in the conventional sense. We think in a million years or so it'll crunch down in on itself to become something like a very heavy version of Jupiter. But at the moment it's just this giant orbiting cloud of dust and gas, basically.
How did you discover it?
We were using radio observations, so we did some of these at the Very Large Array, which is in the United States, and some of these with the Merlin Radio Telescope Array, which is in England. And we were basically the first people to do this, so we searched and got an image with very high resolution around this particular young star, and this is what we found.
It's interesting that you're using radio observations to make this discovery. Typically people think about optical telescopes giving us lovely, pretty images, or perhaps infrared. Why radio? I mean, presumably when we're not detecting aliens transmitting on their FM bands, alien music. So how did radio observations help make this discovery?
Well, I have to say, alien music would be a nice thing to discover, but that wasn't it. No, this is a very unusual and new technique where you can look for the signal just coming from very cold rocks, basically. And they give off a kind of heat radiation, but because they're cold at very, very long wavelengths, which turn out to be in the radio, and finding the signal, which is very characteristic of rocks going around a star, is a very big clue that there's planet formation underway, which involves sticking rocks together and then piling an atmosphere on top.
How big are these rocks?
This is one of the surprising things when we thought about it, because we normally think in terms of interstellar dust, which is particles smaller than the width of a human hair. But these particular rocks, we can work out, have actually grown hugely to sizes of a few centimetres. So you're talking about, you know, a pebble or something, you know, a rock the size of your fist, maybe.
It's remarkable that you can make a discovery of a lot of rocks, but still a lot of rocks which are reasonably small, the size of your fist.
Yeah, I mean, it is a very surprising thing. They're not very efficient emitters, and you do need a lot of them there, which is why we've detected this rather supermassive planet. So it'll be about 14 times the mass of Jupiter when it's finished making itself into a planet. Each individual rock doesn't emit very much. This is a very difficult experiment to do.
Why are these rocks emitting anything?
It's basically the way you could pick up the Earth from space. Rocks do just emit. It's called thermal radiation.
And how far away is this protoplanetary system?
This particular star is about 500 light years away from us, so it's quite a long way compared to local space. But you have to look further out into our galaxy to find these regions where young stars are forming.
How far through is the formation scenario, this formation process, as you've seen it now?
It's very, very early stage, which is one of the most exciting things about the observation. So the star itself is not more than 100,000 years old, so the planet can't be any older than that. And this is incredibly young in star terms. We're normally thinking a few million years old, maybe, when we talk about a young star. And the Sun is 4.5 billion years old, so it left this stage a very, very long time ago.
Can you repeat this technique for other systems, do you think?
This is something we'd really like to do. We picked HL Tau because we knew it had a very bright disk, and it turned out to be more or less the only one we could do with the Very Large Array in the States. What we're really optimistic about is the upgrade to the Merlin Array, which is in the UK and based at Jodrell Bank in Cheshire, obviously, as lots of people know. And with all the new electronics and so on in place, this will be really, really sensitive. And because the telescopes are spread across half of England, basically, it is a very long baseline, which makes it work effectively as one super large telescope and give us even more detail than we've achieved with the disk we've done so far. So the combination of these two factors hopefully means we can do a lot more of these systems and explore the planetary diversity, really.
Does this discovery fit in with our understanding of how planets form? We have some theoretical ideas on how planets form. Do these observations fit with how we think they form generally?
Yeah, there have been two theories, probably both of which I think actually happen in real space. And this one relates to one that's been less considered, which is a mechanism called gravitational instability. If you have a very massive disk around a star, it can have its own gravity and bits can kind of break off and do their own thing. And in fact, we had one member of the team, Ken Rice, at Edinburgh University, did a really nice simulation to make this work in a computer. And he produced an object in his model disk that's very like the one we observed. So we really think, yeah, the theory was right, and we've actually nailed it in the data as well.
That's very exciting to actually be able to discriminate between two different theories on how planets form. Hopefully we will see more similar systems in the future.
Yeah, hope so. It's an exciting time.
Thank you very much for taking the time to talk to us.
Thank you.